there's one of these for you and one for me. And that just a card, whoever gave that, God bless you and the horse you rode in on. Amen? Amen. Are you ready to hear the word this morning? All right. I have been asked to preach on a bittersweet subject to me. I've been asked to preach on women in the ministry, women pastors, and I am certainly equipped to do that. And so we're going to just get into the service this morning, and I just encourage you to hear the word. Are you open to the word of God? Because I'm going to give you the word of God. Will that be okay? All right, then. If you take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Exodus chapter 15, and I'm going to be sharing out of the New Living Translation, which is just what we need to understand in the Word. There are more, look at most of you, there's probably way more talking about women in leadership in this Bible of ours than you might imagine. I'm going to open up some verses maybe that you've never even heard before. And we're starting at one cover, and before we're through, we'll probably go to the other. Just the Word of God is full of women in leadership roles. And there is I don't know how to say this, but there is a problem in modern America with that to a certain degree. In 1920, there was about 2.7 women pastors in the church. In 1960, that rose up to around 23, 24%. And it's on the rise. And so many, and you might wonder why that is. Well, I can tell you one thing. There's always, in any church, there's more women in a service than there is men. And I'm just going to tell you what I've seen. I got saved in 1971, and since 1971, women seem to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, or at least willing to move in the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit in the church service, in a church, what you've got is a moose lodge. Unless the Holy Spirit is in your church, what you have is a club. A church is different. A church is alive and vibrant, and it's not full of a bunch of religious ideas. It's full of God's ideas. And that's what we try to do every service here. No matter who, if we allow somebody behind this pulpit, they're going to share the views of God, or we won't be asking them again. We want to inundate this body of believers with things that will bring them closer to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because without those three, now, I must say, most of the things in my life, of the doctrines that are in my heart, they were from the very beginning. But I want to say that my views, my understanding of women in ministry has progressed and grown over the years because it's been hidden by religion. I want to say this here. This is not a religious church. We are an interdenominational church. We invite all faiths are welcome here, okay? We preach out of this Bible. We do not have a denominational creed. Our creed is Genesis to the maps in this Bible and nothing else. And all the others that have that, what they tried to say was, we're going to help God out. He hadn't got this down pat. We're going to get it pat for him, and we're going to be into religion. So if we're going to give you our own creed. I can remember one organization, and I'll be kind enough not to mention them. They wanted me to ordain me into their their denomination. And they said, we have bunches of little churches we'd like to put you in. And all we need to hear, we understand it. There's a little bit of a problem. We just need you to sign papers that say you don't agree with tongues. You don't agree with things like that, because that was in the past. And I said, well, fellas, I'm not going to do that. Of course I'm not going to do that. And I didn't. I do believe in tongues. The word says in the book of Corinthians, do not forbid the speaking in tongues. So we don't do that. Is there an order that it should be done in? Yes. And it's very clear in the Bible. But we're talking about a subject this morning that I hope will help you. And if you approach it with an open mind, this subject. And I think most of the people in here don't have problems with women pastors, women leaders. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, let me bring out that word that is important to you. And, Father, open the hearts and minds and the reasoning and the decision-making powers of those who will hear this word. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Now, we're looking at first in Exodus chapter 15, and we're looking at verses 19 and 20. In the New Living Translation, when Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and charioteers rushed into the sea, the Lord brought the water crashing down on them. So you know where we're at then. Most of you know exactly where we're talking about right then and there. And I want to make some things clear there that you might not have known. But the people of Israel had walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground. And then Miriam, the prophet. We're at the beginning of the Bible. I'm talking about Miriam, the prophet. I don't give two cents about what people think about women in the ministry. You better read your Bible, those of you that are listening from all of the lovely denominations in our community. But Miriam the prophet. Now, the King James says Miriam the prophetess. Well, what is a prophetess? It's a female prophet. Okay? But Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, Moses' sister also. In fact, Miriam is the one that helped her mother put baby Moses in that little cradle and launched it out on the Nile River. Then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine and led all the women as they played their tambourines and danced. Now, I don't know where our tambourines went, but if I had one and I wasn't playing the guitar, I'd be hitting that dude, and I'd dance, okay? I believe in that. And if you don't, that's okay. A lot of people, I've had many comments on my white pants from some of the fellas this morning. I said, Brother Angelo, how do you keep them things clean? I said, you know, what's wrong with you guys? It's simple. I wear them to church, and then before I even go to the restroom or get a drink of water, as soon as I get home, I hang them up. Works every time. Now, this month is Cancer Awareness Month. And if you notice folks wearing pink, that's why we're wearing it. For the survivors, one of them is my lovely wife, Millie. She's a cancer survivor. Amen. How many of you here are cancer survivors? Put your hands up. If you're still alive and breathing, let me see your hands, ladies. Amen. Amen and amen to you. Amen and amen. Okay? And I thought, this pink shirt, what would go better with it than white pants? So that's why I got these white pants on. I bet you when I'm walking, you can see me coming with these white pants on. Amen? All right. All right. Now I'm sharing a very important subject, because if you get this wrong, which is from cover to cover, what else are you going to get wrong? Somebody help me here. If you're going to get this wrong and you say, all the women, to heck with you, sit there and shut up. And that's what you think. Man, you better read that Bible again. There are so many verses, so many things. I can't get it all in one service. I can't get it all in two services. There are so many examples of women in the ministry in leadership roles. Leadership roles, okay? Now, I will address this here. The Apostle Paul said, I do not allow women to lord it over men, usurp authority over men. Well, you know, the Apostle Paul, when you look in the earlier books in the Bible, in the Old Testament, well, let me just say it this way. I'm the founding pastor of this church. Kelly just told you for about the millionth time, I'm her pastor. Okay? I don't have to be in the limelight. I am here to make people that can serve if they live longer than me. That praise and worship team up there, those are the ones that I chose. Those are the ones that will worship God. Don't you just love them? Yeah. And they're not afraid to go out into the community and share their faith there either. And I'm tired of women feeling bad about being a woman. I don't think that's what God intended or what God wants. Is there some things in there that might be a little, yeah, I'll give you that. But I don't think you can keep a woman from answering her call. Now, I don't know when you got saved, but I was there the morning my daughter Kelly got saved. She got saved. She was 7 years old. And she was out there by herself. I come out of the room. It was early in the morning. She had made an altar out of our couch, and she was there praying. And she was sobbing. And I wondered what happened. I said, well, Kelly, is everything okay? She said, yes, Dad. I said, what was you praying about? She said, I was praying about my sins. And I just had Jesus to come into my heart. Now, I don't know what to tell you. Was she perfect growing up? No. But neither was anybody else in this room. Let's just get real. Let's just get over some of this stuff. This phony nonsense stuff that makes people where they don't even want to go to church. When you come here, you're here because you know God's going to move here. God's going to do something here. God's going to be wonderful here. Whether you're a man or a woman, and he's just as liable to use a woman to get the Spirit moving in here as he is a man. Who wants to do it? I ask people regularly, you got anything to say in the Lord? Do you want to get the Spirit moving? We're working on this young fellow right here. If he listens, he's going to make a great man of God. I think he will. I've seen him go through some terrible things. He's making it through. We have other pastors in here. Okay? But here's how we do things. I have never seen Kelly, and if you have, keep it to yourself. I haven't seen her lord it over a man. I haven't seen that. But you know what I have seen? Look here. If you come against this church, this is what I purposed in my heart when I was 19 years old. I was going to know this word better than anybody that I personally knew. I was going to know this word. I gave myself to knowing this word. What was you doing when you were 19? I hope you were doing the same thing. And one thing I can tell you is this, and we've had it happen, and we've had to do something about it. We don't publicly correct people if we don't have to. But if you push us, if you think you're going to make us cow down, you're wrong. When I moved to Arkansas, my kids, they said, Dad, everybody at school thinks that you're in the mafia. Well, I said, tell them to shut up or I'm going to give them an offer they can't refuse. But let me share something with you. from time to time, we do have people that, you know, they want to, and you know, if it's a man, we have plenty of men here. Plenty of men that'll work with the men if we have to. And that doesn't mean we're going to let you abuse this pastor here. We're just not going to let you do that. That's going to be a problem. We've had people leave. We've had people leave recently because they of their views. You know what? Look here. You know, you can have your views. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you enjoy coming, why don't you just come? We won't try to shove things down your throat here. We don't have to. If you enjoy it here, if you're getting something out of it, one thing, there's things that are way different about this church and many churches. But anyhow, I want to keep on point here, and I want to share these things with you. Now we're going to go to the book of Judges. Now, what I was showing there was Miriam was considered a prophet. So was Balaam, who was a man. And Miriam had to be corrected by God over some things with her brother. And Balaam was corrected to the point of death. He just didn't work out. So just look here. When you're in a five-fold ministry, when you're a pastor, a prophet, evangelist, teacher, apostle, that doesn't mean that God picked you because you'll never make a mistake or never make a sin. Because look at 1 John, the letter 1 John was written to Christian people. And 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says this. If we confess our sins, who? Every Christian reading it. Why? Because Christians sin. Jesus, when he became your Savior, he became your constant forgiver. Okay? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from our sins, church. That's why communion is a time to get things back in order with God. Communion is to the believer what an oil change is to a car. It's a time to get refreshed and revitalized and renewed and get things square with God. If you don't do that and you go for years and years, he that covers the sin will not prosper. If you don't let that out, and if you don't get things right with God, and if you think, well, I don't think I'm supposed to sin anymore, so I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm going to act like everybody else, like everything's just hunky-dory. We're going to talk about this and that, and women can't preach, and this can't happen, and that kind of. Well, that's not the way to go. We're in the book of Judges now. Judges chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. And I want to tell you, who were the judges? Before Israel had kings, they had judges. Judges first. What did they do? They had authority to rule, to lead Israel. Some of them was women. Sorry to bust your bubble if that anybody listening. You need to forget about Googling everything and get into your Bible, sir, ma'am. Anyhow, I'm going to read these verses. On that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Abinoam, sang this song. Israel's leaders took charge and the people gladly followed. Praise the Lord. Listen, you kings. Pay attention, you mighty rulers, for I will sing to the Lord. I will make music to the Lord, the God of Israel. Lord, when you set out from Seir and marched across the fields of Edom, the earth trembled and the cloudy skies poured down rain. The mountains quaked in the presence of the Lord, the God of Mount Sinai, in the presence of the Lord of Israel. The rest of the verses, I think I had a few more, didn't I? Yeah. Didn't we go till 9? Okay. All right. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, and in the days of Jael, people avoided the main roads and travelers stayed on the windy pathways. There were few people left in the villages of Israel until Deborah arose as a mother for Israel. How many of you remember who Golda Meir was? Prime Minister of Israel. The leader of Israel. Okay? There were a few people left in the villages of Israel until Deborah arose as mother for Israel. And when Israel chose new gods, war erupted at the city gates, yet not a shield or spear could be seen among the 40,000 warriors in Israel. My heart is with the commanders of Israel, with those who volunteered for war. Praise the Lord. Now, a little bit of studying, you'll find out that the woman I just mentioned was a judge in Israel. She had power. Okay? Now, we may, before this teaching is over, we may go to where one fella back in these days said he didn't want to go to battle without the leader, which was a woman, another prophet. And she said, well, yeah, I'll go with you if you want, but a woman will get the credit for this battle. And those are the verses that we, if you have an open heart, number one, and if you have a telephone, number two, I'm going to tell you, it wasn't this easy for me, but if you've got one of these and you want to know the truth, if you've got one of these, everybody that has a smartphone, you are a Hebrew, Greek scholar. You can know anything that the Word knows. And it's high time. See, something isn't working completely right as this nation is falling apart and getting further from God. Maybe we need to have all hands on deck. Maybe even the women. Okay, is all I'm saying. And I'll also say this. I have no trouble with you having your own views. As long as you don't use them against this church, use them to hurt people. We can't let that happen. But have your own, there's nothing wrong with having. But if you come here and you like the fact that almost every service we feed you, we give you food, and that we're debt-free, and that we just built that new manna center, and the Spricks here just got back from Little Rock, was there with the governor and many other people, accepted awards for being the number one food people in the state. Well, then stick around for a little while. Try it out. See what you can hear. Can you have your own? You can always, yeah, you can have your own views. Like I said, just don't use them to try to pull people away. That wouldn't be good. There's nothing wrong with that. You might not feel exactly the way we do, okay? And if you want to talk about it, you get your Bible and I'll get my Bible, and we'll go wherever you want and sit down, and we'll figure it out. And if you can teach me something, I've always been a sponge for being taught, okay? That's how I came to these conclusions, because I started out like everybody else. Everybody that I was around, well, women can't do anything, basically. Anything, and it's, I just went along until I started reading the Bible for myself. Isn't the truth, don't you think more than ever, maybe we just need to read the Bible for ourselves? You know, the Bereans, the Word said this about the Bereans, the honorable Bereans, they were told things, but they went home and studied the Scriptures to see if that those things were true. And that's what we want you to do. Nothing better than would have every person in this church know the Word of God better than they've ever known the Word of God before. Because you can't make it on your leader's... you got to know the Word for yourself. You know, it's so important. It's like eating. And Jesus told the devil, look here, if Satan will try to tempt the Son of God, you think he's not going to try to tempt you? you better have some answers when he dies. If you're the Son of God, turn the stone into bread. Jesus looked at Manasseh and said, look it, booger. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Are you living by every word? But by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. That's what the word says. So think about that. Well, I don't know if I could do that. I'll tell you what. I have high school diploma is all I have. And the deepest hunger to do two things, to know God and know who I was, who he said I was, and to please God. And with nothing more than that, I found my way through it. And man, when I got my first smartphone, I really got smart then. There isn't anything that you can't learn, not even in a service, even a regular old service. You can be in the services. You know, you get down there, what does it say? You can find out. I'm sharing this. Women in ministry, that's all I'm saying. And I'm not saying this in a way to get you to even believe like I do. But I think anybody that stands behind this sacred desk ought to know something. I believe I have obligation to at least put something out where you could judge for yourself. And I think most of you, if you judge for yourself what the word says and why it says it, you'd come to some different conclusions. Because when the church has just as much divorce and adultery and sin as the world around it does, I'd be taking any kind of help I can get anywhere. Especially from people like my daughter. I've never seen anybody work any harder than Kelly. I never have. And have more results and be kinder and be more generous just to give. She has outdone me and made me take her lead. You know, she just gives to anybody that comes. All you got to be to get food is hungry and want some and ask for it. We'll give it to you here. So far, we haven't run out. Why is that? I think you should ask God. We might be doing something right. Seats that you're sitting on are paid for. The building that you're in is paid for. The Manna Center that we just built is paid for. The acreage that we own on Kalamazoo Road is paid for. Acreage, the land we own across the street here from the Manna Center is paid for. We own that. Okay? And because in here teaches you how to live that way, how to live debt-free and to prosper. It's so hard to teach. We don't hardly teach it here because people say, all they want is our money. And that's just not true because all we want and need is God's money that's in your wallet if you're a Christian. And so we can't say that too many times. People get all upset about that. And, you know, if you never give a nickel here, we're still going to love you, and we're still going to feed you, and we're still going to help you. But if you want to, but we're going to have to help you more. Because, see, in my family, before we started Paris Christian Center, we were living debt-free. I just bought a house, 10 acres, fence, cross fence, pond, little tiny house. It was big enough for me. I didn't buy anything bigger than what I really needed to carry and have. And I bought it in June of 86 and paid it off in right before we started in the month of April of 87. We paid it off. We started this ministry debt-free. We've kept it that way ever since. And why? Because we don't ever want to have to come to you and tell you, look, we've got to take up a special offering. We can't make the payment on something. But we've never done that. We just haven't had to do that. But I think maybe something could be said here that would help when you deal with people outside of here. I have seen things happen here that were, I thought were awful. I remember one time a fella came in and he said, "Are you the pastor?" I said, "I'm one of the pastors." I said, "But over there's the head pastor. It's my daughter, Kelly." And he walked out of the service. And I'm just going to tell you, we are at the point, what we want to know is, who's on the Lord's side? Who's with us? And this is what I tell people. I said for years, "I don't know if you're with me till we've had two or three good fights together. We'll see." And that's who I really am. That's how come Kelly is so much kinder. I'd rather you talk to her about some of these things. And then if you try to, if I have to, we'll have a little talk. Okay? But I'm 72. Want to hunt and fish more than I ever did. And want to watch you folks grow. Want to watch you be blessed. Want to watch your marriages work out better. Want to watch you make better choices. Want to watch you have more money in your wallet. Want to watch you feel more sure you're on your way to heaven. So on and so forth. Now, I've got something here I want to show you in Matthew chapter 4, 18 through 22. And this is the New Testament. And I'm going to teach extensively on this, but we are not going to cover every area where women are in leadership because it's just too full, way too full. But here's what it says. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore on the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. This is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry when he was getting the 12 together. And verse 19, Jesus called out to them, "Come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." Proverbs chapter 11 says, "He that winneth souls is wise." I love to win souls. It's one of my deepest, most wonderful joys is to win people to Jesus. And they left their nets. I want you to remember that. They left their nets. Immediately, they left their nets. They left what they were doing. How did that happen? I don't know. But does anybody think part of the Bible is fudging? Or do you think most of it's pretty well? If you think most of that's pretty well. And they left their nets at once and followed Jesus. A little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father, Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father and their nets behind. Now, I'm going to show you something else. If you would please turn with me to John chapter 4, verses 25 through 30 in the New Testament. If you've got your Bible, hey, if you love the Word, you'll be bringing that Bible. You will. If you really start believing that we live by the Word of God, you'll start carrying that Bible. You won't think you're too old or too this or too that. You'll start carrying your Bible. There are all kinds of things. You can get the Word. Plays all night long. Plays all night long, the Word of God. Praise, worship, beautiful music, and the Word of God all night long. I've got some apps if you want to know. I'll help you find them. They play for as much as 12 hours at a time before they even go out. But let's just take this here, and I'm going to set the stage here. This is Jesus with the woman at the well. And this is how it went with her. I'm going to share part of it. The woman of Samaria. The woman said, see, he'd already talked to her. And she said, sir, give me some of this water so I don't have to come here to get water anymore and I won't be. He said, all right. He said to her, well, go get your husband and come back. She said, I don't have a husband. See, then one of the nine spiritual gifts came, the word of knowledge, and he said, you're right. You don't. You've had five husbands, and the one that you're with now, the one that you're living with now, is not your husband. And so she said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. And she said, now you Jews say the only place to worship is in Jerusalem. What's the truth about that? And he said, it's not a geological location, but it's in the spirit. Those that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the spirit with the Lord wherever you are and the word of God. That's the truth. Okay? But so the women said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. Now, isn't that funny? Here's a Samaritan woman. She's not even an Israel person. She's not even a Jew. It's thousands of years, a couple thousand years ago, and she knows about the Christ. She knows about the Messiah. Are you meaning to tell them that women can't do anything or read anything or have anything? They just need to shut up and wait on men? It's not like that. I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Just then, his disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman. Same thing of that day. Same thing. Okay. Bear with me. But none of them had the nerve to ask, what are you doing talking to her? Nobody had that nerve to ask him. Why? Well, if you've seen him raise people from the dead, calm the storm just by putting his hands up, maybe you'd be a little slow to make quick judgments also. Amen? Yes. Well, they were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? Or why are you talking to her? Look what that says right there. Look at verse 28. Then the woman left her water jar beside the well. The fishermen left their nets. She left her water jar, and she went to her village, and she preached to everybody. Let's see here. And she ran back to her village, telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. You know, we've got time to do this. Could you fellas give me about maybe 10 more verses right here in the same translation? We'll just keep going. I would like to help somebody if somebody wants me help. If a person is just, I just believe it this way and this is the only way. Okay, all right. We don't want, if true people of God, we're not going to argue over this, but for the hungry heart out there, if there's somebody there that wants to know the truth, the harvesters are paid good wages. Let's see where we're at here. What I need is verse 31 from 31. You got it? Okay. Okay. So the people came streaming from the village to see Jesus. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. But Jesus replied, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. Did someone bring him food while we were gone? They didn't get it. He told them, hey, I'm going to be crucified. But I'm going to come back. And when they crucified him, they looked at each other and said, well, that's the end of that. That didn't work out for us. Because they didn't believe him. They seen him do all these things, but it was hard. You know what? I don't know how much I could believe if I seen somebody that I loved killed right before my very eyes the way that he was killed, which is a very unpleasant way to die. Did someone bring him food while we were gone? The disciples asked each other. Then Jesus explained, my food, my meat, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. See, I'm going to say something in here that I've learned, and I mean this with the greatest sincerity. No matter what you think about yourself, God has a plan for your life, and it's a good plan. It's not, I'm planning for you to be the flunky of the group. No, there are no flunkies in God's kingdom. Okay? No, God has a good plan for your life. God loves you. Women also, I want you to know that. God wants you to flourish in everything in this life. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. Can we have a few more, please? The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. That's what we're here for. Jesus looked out and said, you know, fellas, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will make laborers to send out into the field. Well, what if he sends women, for God's sake? Are we against that? What about the denominations? There are a few of the holiness type denominations from way back when. They never held anything against women. And then women birthed churches. They were apostles. They went and birthed churches and set them up and worked miracles in those churches. Hannah Whitall Smith and many, Catherine Kuhlman in a more modern time. Here's what Catherine Kuhlman would say, if you know who she was. She said, you know, God had a man. He was trying to find a man to do this, but he couldn't find one, so I answered the call. He took me. And I'm going to tell you what. Unbelievable, unexplainable miracles in modern times through Catherine Kuhlman. You know, the saying, one plants, another harvests, and it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others have already done the work, and now you will get to gather the harvest. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, because the woman, evangelist, person had said, because a woman, they said, you know what? We know her. She's lived among us. She's shacked up with some dude now, but man, she's saying it. Could this be the Messiah? There's one thing. It wasn't like she didn't know what the Messiah was, what the Christ was. She knew. Why? How did that happen? Because, see, it's not like religion has blinded our minds like women weren't able to do anything except make bread and babies. Now, that's just not true. And it doesn't take much studying with your smartphone, and we're all big daddy people in the Word. When you got a smartphone, you can look up anything. Hey, Siri, I want to know about this. Tell me about this. Are you interested in anything? Find something that you're interested in and find out about it. Okay, and many Samaritans, okay, these weren't even Jewish people, okay, from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village, so he stayed for a couple of days there. Now, we could go a little further, but I'll tell you where I want to go next. In the sound booth, God bless you. Bub, if you'd put up Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31, I can promise you this here. I want to eat lunch as much as everybody in this room. I'm going to make sure the preacher don't go past. We're going to get our food. Amen. All right. We're in Proverbs chapter 31, beginning at verse 10. This is the account of a virtuous woman. And I happen to believe that my daughter is a virtuous woman. Okay? And you make up your own mind. But this is what the word says. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her. She will greatly enrich his life. Let me just ask you something. I'm not putting you on the spot. But so far, you two get along pretty good and you trust her? She seems to be the best wife you ever had? I love that. You know what? You may very well be the best son-in-law I ever had.
Maybe.
Okay. She brings him good and not harm all the days of her life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She is like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. She gets up before dawn. This is Kelly. She don't have a day off every 1 in 7. She doesn't. And who makes her work? Just like, you know, Sam, he loves, his family doesn't understand him. But he loves to work. That's what he loves to do. And I don't think anybody should stop him. At least he knows what he wants. I'm worried about all the people that don't even know what they want. Because when I was 19 years old, and when I was full of drugs, sex, and rock and roll, and I was suicidal, I remember saying, if I could have anything I wanted, I wouldn't know what to ask for. Because I was empty. There was something empty. There was something wrong inside of me. And the only thing that would help me was Jesus. She brings him good, not evil, all the days of her life. She finds wool and flax and spins it. She is like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. She goes to inspect the field and buys it with her earnings. She plants a vineyard. She is energetic and strong, a hard worker. Give me the rest all the way to 31. You know who I go to when there's things I can't figure out? It's not that she's not already busy, but she'll take a little time sometime. If I take a number like you have to, I say, would you help me with this? And she knows it. She knows it. Very, very, very frugal with money. And all she wants to do is fulfill her call, raise her kids, have her family, and not be ridiculed. She says to me, Dad, I wish they'd give me something I could change. I'm a woman. Do I need to not do my call because of that? And I don't have the heart to say no to her. And I'm like, I'm on a journey just like you are. I didn't come to this conclusion at the beginning of my walk. But very soon, as I begin to see what was happening, and I begin to look past denominational creeds and look what the Word of God said, there's a big difference. Well, which denominations are you against? None of them. All faiths are welcome here. Millie and I just celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary. And on August the 11th, my dear brother and friend, that I am not any better than him, Father Jerome Cadell from the Abbey, came and officiated our vows right here. And we've always been that way. We have people from different denominations come in here and minister at times and things like that. And so let's go. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. It's true. Her hands are busy spinning thread. Her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. Am I describing somebody that's sitting on the front row with pink slacks on? Yeah. And can I tell you something? If you don't feel the same way, God bless you. It's okay. It's all right. as long as you don't try to pull people out and mess with people's heads. Amen? Okay. She makes her own bedspread. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. Her husband is well known at the city gates, where he sits with the other civic leaders. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. That's Kelly. With everything she's doing, she also has a t-shirt business. Does everybody know that? Yeah. Okay. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. Am I lying about her? She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Amen. This isn't the only on fire church in this city, but not every church in this city is on fire. I'm just going to tell you, some of them are deader. I don't even want to say that, but they're pretty dead. Okay? But we want life. We want to try to give life. We want to celebrate life. We want God to move among us. We want to see people get their prayers answered. What's the use in praying if you never get your prayers answered? What's the use of asking for a healing if nobody ever gets healed? That's never been the case here. We've had nothing but years and years since May of 1987 of one miracle answered prayer after another. And I'm doing this. I was asked, and I just share in my heart. And you know, there's other people here that have a different opinion. They're good people too. And if you want to tell me your opinion, you see me after church or something. We'll set up an appointment. And you can tell me how you feel about it. I'll listen to you, because we're not know-it-alls. But I purposed in my heart, I have no. that I was going to know this word better than anybody I knew. And if I knew anybody like Brother Autry Davis that knew the word better than me, I was in his midweek services, because I've never seen any man use that many Bible verses in a 1 hour and 15 minute message. 75, 80. Everybody look at the clock. I'm closing right now. I want to say that. And my heart is this here. We don't feel threatened by anybody that talks about us, that doesn't agree with us. But we felt like, Kelly felt like it was time. Dad, can you share on this subject? I may share one more time. We'll see. But would anybody want to hear just a little bit more about this in another service? Okay. We may do that. We'll see. But I'm beginning to close. And I'm not closing. I'm beginning to close. I got 5 minutes to close, folks. No. What I'd like to say is this, and what I'd like to see is this. This is Pastor Appreciation Month. I've been appreciated personally all I can stand, but I'm 72 years old. If you, in your heart, if you love Kelly in your heart, I'm asking you, let her know that you're with her. That's all I'm asking. Would you stand up with me? Kelly, come on up here with me for a second. Come right over here. Give me a hand. This is what I did 5 years ago. I made her the head pastor of this church. I'm not reneging on that. Okay? I believe more than ever that we've made the right choice. We have a pastor we can be proud of. Okay? Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Sweetie, you take over.
Well, amen. Well, I love all of y'all. And I wanted Dad to preach about it, not because I couldn't, but you know what? Some things, some people won't hear it from a woman. And so you got to... No, and I don't, because you know what? I've done that for 5 years. I've defended myself for 5 years, and really all I can tell you is that ever since I was a little girl, I've had it prophesied over my life, and I've had that... If you're a pastor, you just don't... You probably won't relate to what I'm saying, but there was something, Melissa, inside of me for my whole life, and it just... There was a love there. And people drive me crazy, but I love them at the same point. And I drive people crazy, and they love me, and I love being a pastor, and I love being y'all's pastor. And I just wanted to sit and just be a person today. And, you know, I hear different things from people. And one of the things that I realized about 1 week into the ministry as a pastor is that I was going to have to grow thicker skin when it came to this subject, because I found myself many times just wanting to defend myself all the time. And, you know, the Word of God says that He'll be your defender. And so the more that I just back up from defending people with their opinions, because, you know, people can have their opinions, and God has His Word. And so I'm thankful to be His child today. We have got a ton of feedback there. I'm going to speak a blessing over you this morning, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank You that You have a good week for us, a week full of blessing, a week full of favor, a week full of breakthrough, a week full of healing. And God, right now I ask that You'd use us to show people who You are. God, not to say who You are, but God, to actually show them who You are. And Lord, I thank You for everything that You have for us. And God, I thank You that You are making us willing to give everything that we have to You. In Jesus' name, amen.